border to border, coast to coast, and around the globe via the World Wide Web. This is America Talks Radio for Patriots. Now, reporting for duty from the command center, the Doctor of the Republic, David Zublik.
And the battle is joined, my friends. The battle to restore our constitutionally limited republic is America Talks Radio for Patriots on the Orion Talk Radio Network. Orion News Talk is news and views beyond the mainstream media. 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York, our flagship station, and streaming live at OrionTalkRadio.com. It is Fringe Friday.
And we will control all that you see and hear.
And it is Fringe Friday, and we are very pleased to bring back to the program a guest that we said will be joining us on a regular basis. We had him on last Friday. We were fortunate enough to get him back on tonight. His name is Ole Damagard. His website is lightonconspiracies.com. He is the author of several books, including his latest, Coup d'etat in slow motion. Ole, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. It's an honor being on.
Well, it's an honor to have you back. Now, last week we began a very fascinating discussion. We just clean ran out of time about research that you had done into assassinations of many prominent people and how you were able to detect a pattern in these assassinations, which you know, led you to believe that there is a group of individuals scattered around the world, I guess, but who are part of a prominent society, a secret society, I guess you would call it, and who are responsible for these assassinations and carrying them out. And where we had left off is you had been telling our audience about what all the elements are that need to be in place for these assassinations to take place, including sending people ahead of time, some of whom do not know every piece of the puzzle. They only know what their particular mission is. We left it at that point because we ran out of time, and I would like to pick it up from that point. But before we do, I just want to remind our listeners, if you did not hear last Friday's interview, check out the archives from last week, Friday's broadcast, to hear the interview with Ole Damagard. You can also hear the interview on his website at lightonconspiracies.com, as well as his interviews on other radio and television broadcasts. All right, why don't we pick it up where you left off?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that there was a small misunderstanding there. We're not talking about a secret society in any way. We're talking the group that I focused on is a group of real assassins, and they're not scattered all over the world. They've been very concentrated in the States, this group, but they've been sent abroad to do different hits and so on.
That's my misunderstanding. They're based here in the United States, so I do apologize. I thought that they were, you know, in different countries in the world.
It is they're different. What I was describing on how one of these hits are done, sort of following the template. But the group that I focused a lot of focus on lately is a group called Operation 40. That was started in the early 1960s by President Dwight Eisenhower. And he gave the task to Richard Nixon, who was his vice president, to put together a hit team of assassins that could be used at aiming at different dictators and people they wanted to take out. At that time, the focus was especially on Fidel Castro that had just moved into Cuba. And they made several attacks on him that failed. But then when it came to JFK a few years later, when suddenly he started behaving in a way that the global elite could not control anymore, they wanted to statue an example. So they used this group. They changed the sort of the aim of the cannon and aimed it towards Kennedy. And quite a few of the shooters in Dealey Plaza. I can name them all if you want to. We can go into big details when it comes to that. But quite a few of them are directly part of this Operation 40. There was a mix of people from the CIA and exiled Cubans and other people from the mob as well. But these people have popped up over and over and over and over again. And I find out through, it's almost 30 years of investigation, that they were directly part of the killing of JFK. They were directly involved in the murder of Robert Kennedy. They were there when Martin Luther King was taken out. They were there when the Watergate burglary was done. They were there when John Lennon was shot. They were there when Salvador Allende was taken out in Chile. And they were there when Olof Palme was shot, 1986, years later. And these people, some of them are active to this very day, even though they're up almost in their 80s now. So it's a very sinister group that has been extremely active over the years. But what I described was how one of these assassinations are done. And this is something I found out after putting I don't know how many thousands of hours into looking into the Kennedy assassination, then Robert Kennedy, then Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, the Swedish Prime Minister, and so on, in a long, long row of different hits. And it was in this research that I found almost like a template that goes way back to, I think, the old Romans that came up with this, how to commit a political assassination on top level and then trick the population into thinking that it was the work of a lone crazy guy. So that was the template I described last time. But I would like to maybe give some examples of other tactics that this power elite has used and are using on an almost daily basis, on how to dupe the population into thinking that something else is going on when it's actually they who are behind these different terror acts and so on. Because the group of people that I'm talking about, this global elite, are people that I can name in big details if you want to later on. But as far as I've been able to figure out and find out based on facts, I'm only interested in facts, no theories, no nothing, but they are the ones behind more or less all so-called terror acts in modern history. As all of them, when every single one I looked into, it leads back to this group. And they have used this group of assassins, plus a lot of other teams, but these people have been super central in so many of these so-called terror acts in modern time and atrocities, everything from Oklahoma City, 9/11, the London bombings, the Madrid bombings, the bombs in Sweden, the bombs in Oslo, and also they're very strongly linked to the Stay Behind army. I don't know if your listeners are aware of the Stay Behind, like the ghost guerrilla that has been created in Western Europe, all the NATO countries. Is this something you have had on your show before?
I have not discussed it, so please enlighten us.
Okay, this was it was also the initiative was taken from the Americans after the Second World War. In 1947, the National Security Council came up with the idea of creating a ghost army that all countries that would be part of NATO, they signed on that they would be part of creating this. And what they did was they created like a secret guerrilla movement, and it was made up of groups from about 8 to 10 people, small groups that was individually they were totally on their own. At the same time, they were working in a network as well. And we're talking right-wing soldiers, mercenaries, policemen, these type of people. And what they had, they were equipped with radio equipment, weapons, fuel, all of these things that were needed for battle. And the whole idea to start with, at least the official version, was that they were there if there would be an invasion from, at that time, from the Soviet Union or any other place, that the resistance movement would already be in place. As soon as there was an invasion, everything would already be set so that the resistance could start. And then while they were fighting the enemy, they would smuggle out the royal family or the president or whoever that was leading that country. They would be transported to London, and from London they would be able to lead this resistance. But what happened was that this spread out to, as far as I know, all NATO countries in Western Europe, including Sweden as well, even though it's a so-called neutral country. And but what happened was that over the years, this became like a terror tool, like a sword of violence that the CIA started using according to what they called the strategy of tension. They wanted to inflict fear in society, in Europe and other countries, to ask, to get the population to ask for more and more protection. So they created loads and loads of these so-called terror acts, with bombs blowing up in Bologna and Italy, in supermarkets in Belgium, and train stations, and all of the, many, many of these were acts of this Stay Behind movement that are still active to this very day, as far as I've been able to find out. There was a massive scandal in, I think it was 1990 in Italy, where a lawyer by the name of Felice Casson, he found out that there was actually this army existed in Italy, even though absolutely no one knew about it, on an official level at least. And it turned out that this army consisted of more than 10,000 people, and it went all the way up to the president level. And it was a massive scandal, and then that spread from country to country to country here in Europe. But many of these assassins that have been used and are used on a regular basis are flown in from, or are picked out of this Stay Behind network, because it's consists of very disciplined, hard, brutal military people, mercenaries, former security people, former police officers, and so on. So, if I go back now to the current state. What I found out was that one of the reason, or one of the ways they do these attacks, terror acts, and so on, it's all according to an old Roman tactic. It was I can't remember the Roman name for it, but anyway, it's based on, they call it also like a three-step rocket. It's problem, reaction, solution. Problem, reaction, solution. That's the secret formula. And now when I'm going to describe it, you, after you start seeing how it works, you will see it on more or less a daily basis nowadays in news and so on. If I give an example, for instance, if I have, let's take a country, if I'm in Greece, for instance, and I'm the president of Greece, and I would like the police to have unlimited power. I would like them to walk around with heavy, you know, like have tanks in the streets and heavy machine guns and all types of helicopters in the streets, all of these type of things. And super control of the population. I would have cameras everywhere. I would have the army and the police have the possibility to kick in doors or mass arrest people without any trials or anything. If I just did that for no apparent reason, I would have a massive problem with resistance movement, demonstrations. I would have, well, you can see it when, compare it to in Chile and Argentina, and so when the military did military coups, supported by the states and through Henry Kissinger, he was very central in these things, that what happened was that the military took over by force, so that within just a few hours they killed off the old president and they killed most of the people in parliament and so on. So they right away got into a position of power. But from that day, they had this massive problem with the population. they had with riots, they had demonstrations, they had all of these things. So they had to mass arrest people. They had to fill the jails. They put them in big football stadiums and then interrogated them and executed them. And for everyone they executed, there were more people following. And then they had to torture them to find out who their friends was. And it was a mess, an absolute mess. So that is not the way to do it. This group has learned from history. So instead, what they do, they secretly create a problem. For instance, we go back to Greece. I'm now the one in power, but you can move this to any country or more or less any situation. I'm the one in power, and I don't want this messy situation, because that could also cause international sanctions, financial sanctions towards my country and so on. So that is not the way to go. Instead, what I do is I secretly create a problem so that I can get a reaction from the population, and then I can move forward with my solution. So in what is the last 5, 10, 15 years, the two major ones have been bombs or mass shootings. These are the two that are trendy at the moment. So if we take a bomb, for instance, what is really important is that I place it in a place to get maximum impact, maximum emotional impact, because that is what I'm after. I want the population to really react emotionally and not with this brain they have between the ears. It needs to be with emotions. So I need to place this bomb in a place to create this maximum effect. And the key to this is I need to blow up women and children. This is the key thing to get this reaction. It doesn't work with old people homes or out in the countryside somewhere. So no, it needs to be central, and it needs to be women and children. At the same time, while I'm preparing this bomb, I'm also preparing a patsy. We were talking about a patsy last time as well, when with this assassination. It's the same with this bomb. Either it's a lone crazy guy, and it's the same story again. He needs to be alone, because otherwise, if there's more than one person involved, they have planned this, it is by law a conspiracy, and then you have to deal with it in a totally different from a totally different angle. If he's alone, there's no conspiracy. And if he's crazy, then you don't have to have a motive either. He was just crazy, he did it. And so the only thing you need to do is either kill this guy or lock him up and throw away the key, case closed, and you can just move forward. But it could also, when it comes to these bombs, either it's a lone person, or you aim at a small group of people, a sect or a church or a yoga group, or you name it, somebody you have problems with anyway. But it could be anything from pink pig lovers, or you name it, anything. And so you have, let's say, the Mormons, for instance. You say, so you prepare evidence that will point towards this group. And then I hope nobody are offended by me using the Mormons. It could be just anyone, but let's just say the Mormons. Okay, so what I do is the weeks coming up to the explosion, I will start leaking out in the press, which I control to a great extent. I start leaking out info about this group. I say that they have meetings on Sundays and they're listening to this guy who had written a book, and this guy had a big beard and he had strange clothes and he said things that he listened to. You know, you leak this out so that people will think, that's a little bit strange. And then you continue and you say, maybe they're planning something, and maybe they have bombs underneath the buildings. Maybe they have, you know, like army depots buried, and they're talking to God while they prepare for this thing. So you leak that out in the press to make the subconscious prepared, saying, that is a weird group. So you prepared like that. Okay, so, and just like with the template I described last time, at the same time, I also have my own investigation on standby, this investigation consists of people that are my people that I control. And what they will do is, as soon as the bomb explodes, they will move in and kick out all normal, honest detectives and police officers and investigators. They will just be pushed aside. So I got my own investigation on standby. I got evidence prepared for the Patsy. I got the Patsy prepared. I got it leaked out in media. And then the bomb was placed there. So what I need to do then is, when everything is set, I need to wait until the maximum emotional impact can be created. And that is normally quite early in the morning, just when people have been waking up and had their first cup of coffee and so on. So normally these bombs goes off at 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:15, so not later than that. And also to confuse the whole thing, I arrange a drill at the same time. And this drill is with the exact same target that will explode. I mean, the exact same thing is happening in the drill as in real life. So this is a really good way of moving in the Patsy. You know, he thinks that he's part of a drill, or you move in people you want to make suspect. Also, you get people in with the bombs and so on. You move them in under cover of this drill. So these drills, you can see that that is repeatedly, there's so many different drills going on exactly when these things happen. And it just goes from drill and suddenly it goes live, and nobody, many of the people who are part of it have absolutely no idea that suddenly this has gone live. Anyway, so I also inform all my people that I know of around the place for the bomb explosion. I tell, don't go to work today. It's better if you write in and say you're sick today or so. So you will find that the official offices of FBI, DEA and so on, they will be empty these days. There are never any victims of these people. But anyway, so when that is done, then I wait, the bomb is placed. I put media on standby saying, please, within the next 15 minutes, just be ready. And then 9:10, let's wait, they're waking up. 9:15, okay, here we go, boom, and off it goes.
All right, let's take a break right here, because we're coming to the bottom of the hour break, and this is a good point in the conversation to take a quick break. But when we come back with Ole Damegaard, author of Coup d'Etat in Slow Motion, his website, lightonconspiracies.com, we will continue this conversation in just a few moments. This is the Orion Talk Radio Network, news and views beyond the mainstream media. I'm David Zublik. We will continue right after the break in about 5 minutes. David Zublik here with America Talks Radio for Patriots here on the Orion Talk Radio Network. With a reminder, Tom Donahue has returned to Orion Talk Radio with Tom Donahue Reports, seeking the truth, promoting liberty, and defending freedom. Unbeholden to the established political order and unbound by its parties, Tom goes beyond the political realm, covering the stories and championing the causes that matter most. Sunday evenings, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Orion Talk Radio Network. My special guest this evening is Ole Damegaard. His website, lightonconspiracies.com, where you can purchase his book, his most recent book, Coup d'Etat in Slow Motion, as well as some of his older books as well. And you can make a donation right on his homepage right there to him. That helps him to continue to do this research and bring us this fantastic information. We left off right at the point where this terrorist attack occurs, Ole. But before we get to that, real quick question. Can you give us, our listeners, an example of an incident, a recent incident here in the United States, which would fit the pattern of everything you've talked about so far?
9/11, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, the Aurora shooting, the beheading in London.
The only thing about the, I was going to mention the Boston bombing, but one of the things you said is with incidents such as these, they find a patsy that is a lone person. In this case, you had two brothers, the Tsarnaev brothers, that were supposedly involved in this together. Doesn't that fit more of the conspiracy pattern and eliminate the patsy?
Sorry, I did not understand the question.
Well, in the case of the Boston bombing, there were two suspects. There were two brothers supposedly involved in the Boston bombing. And,
yeah.
And before we went to break, you said there's always only one person that's the patsy. If you have more than one, then it fits the pattern of a conspiracy. So they only have one lone nut job. But in the case of the Boston bombing, there were two brothers. So doesn't that kind of isn't that a little bit different from what you're talking about? How does the Boston bombing fit the same pattern of the one patsy?
It doesn't, but like I said also, it can be one person or it can be a group, or in this case it was two. But it's the same, they go for the same template, more or less.
I see.
And like this, these patsies, they used to, in the old days, it used to be East European and Russians. That was the trend at that time. Then it changed because after the Cold War, they ran out of, they couldn't use them anymore because they needed to create boogeymen for that would work. So then they started with this trend of using Muslims instead. And Muslims was a favorite for a long, long time because they managed to pump into our subconscious that Islam equals terror, that if you're Muslim, that automatically means you're a terrorist. And that is so absolutely not true. I mean, there are millions and millions and millions of so peaceful Muslims, and Islam is basically a very peaceful religion as well. So it's just that we've been pumped up with this image. And also the great thing for them when it comes to Muslims is that they look really good in media. They can have very dark eyebrows and dark hair and a big mustache, and their name could be something, Hussein Akbar Abdullah Abda, something like that. That sounds really, whoa, that is weird. And then they can come from a country that you can hardly spell the name of either. So they're perfect to pump up, you know, like that is a weird guy, because that is the whole idea with a patsy is that you will buy into it. But now these Muslims, they've overdone it. So now they've gone to the next stage, and now they changed it so that the crazy guy, the lone crazy guy, now he can look blonde and blue-eyed, or like a computer geek, or a very peaceful activist, or I mean, now truth seekers are, now we are more and more being targeted as terrorists. So
are Christians. The latest targets are Christians.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, now it's Christians. I mean, tomorrow it's like vegetable farmers, or you know, it's just, it moves. And the whole idea that they're doing now is to make us so paranoid that we think it can be just anyone. In the old days, it was easy. If they were Russians, these were the bad guys. Then it was the Muslims. Well, if we can tell the difference, I'm not dark, you're not dark, he's dark, he must be a bad guy. Now they've done it so that it can just be anyone. It can be your neighbor or your son or your mother. Do you know? So I need even more protection. We're back to this problem reaction solution that I'm describing.
Go ahead.
Okay, so if I can go back to this template we're talking about when it comes to these bomb threats or mass shootings. Now we're talking about a bomb. So I have prepared the patsy. I've got my own investigation on standby. I've got evidence that will point towards the patsy right away. I place the bomb in a place where there's plenty of women and children, very important, and also in a public place so that as many people can feel threatened as possible. I arrange for a drill to go on at the same time with exactly the same targets, meaning that if the bomb is placed in a daycare center, then in the drill there will be a bomb in a daycare center on exactly that spot, so that this drill will halfway through suddenly go live without the people involved not even knowing it. Because this is also one thing that is standard with these operations, is compartmentalization, the need to know chain. Everybody only knows their little part, and very, very few people have an overview of what's actually going on or why it's done. On this street level, many of the times the hitmen or assassins or whoever are involved, they often don't even know who the victim is until the last minute or something like that. So it's kept very, very compartmentalized, and that is so that if somebody would turn into a whistleblower, he would only know his little part, very, very little. So, okay, and like I said, it's very important that this bomb goes off not in the late evening, but early morning when people are as emotional, vulnerable emotionally as possible to get the maximum impact, because this is the whole reason why I do this. Okay, so 9:15, boom, off goes the bomb. I pump out these horrific images in media of all these blown up women and children, causing the effect from the population, and the effect will be, oh my God, my head is exploding, what is going on, this has to be stopped. And then they turned towards me, who they don't know who was the one who actually put the bomb there, and said, please, we have elected you to solve this problem, do it, do it. And in the media, in the meantime, it's been pointing at this group, what did I call them, the vegetable growers or Mormons, I can't remember, but this group that has been prepared as a patsy. And then I will say, well, the only way I can solve this, the only way I can deal with this violent vegetable producing group is by having street tanks in the streets, massive armament of the police, giving them total liberty to kick in doors and mass arrest people without any trials or anything. And the population will say, but please do it, do it. And then I will move forward. I will get rid of this group that I have problems with anyway, these veggie growers. And I will be welcomed as the hero. And I get my agenda pushed forward. In these days now, we're under cover of martial law as well, to just push it in there. And I take this group out, the patsy group, boof, get rid of them, get them blamed, get them sentenced and locked away. And then what I do is, after the whole crisis, so-called crisis, is over, then I wait for a while so that the population get used to seeing tanks in the street, to see armored vehicles and the police in bulletproof vests and so on. And then after a few weeks, I pull back, but I only pull back 80% or something like that. I leave the rest for your protection. And the population do not understand that every time this happens, this protection just gets more and more and more. And every single time, it's your liberties that are taken away with the help of these so-called terror acts. I tell you, over these 30 years, and I have really, really spent so many years of my life trying to find out what really happened, based on facts, only facts, no theories. I even had friends of mine who was murdered in brutal ways, and I had to leave my home country to move abroad to join them. And so I'm not saying this lightly, but this is happening on a regular basis. And nowadays it's the mass shootings. They're trying to convince the American population that you have to give up your arms, that it's the weapons that are the problems. This is the reason for all these mass shootings. They're pointing at the guns, saying the guns are the problem. And look at this, another crazy guy. The reason he could do this was because he could get a gun. So they want you to give up the guns so that they can just then take over. The United States, I hope you understand that you are in the front line at the moment for the rest of the Western world. This country is the only one where the population is armed. I, for one, is not anyone that speaks up for any type of violence. I'm just saying, if you put down your arms, that's when they're just going to move in very, very easily. Now they have a massive problem, so that's why they're trying to speed it up with all these mass shootings. I mean, it's every second day now, and it's getting so sloppy. In the old days when they did a conspiracy, they had a good budget. They had maybe a year in advance to plan the whole thing. They could use really good, clever people involved. Now it's just so sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. And lately, they've even started, this sounds really strange if you're not aware of it, but they even started using actors in some of these mass shootings. So it's not really an actual event that is happening anymore, but a staged event. And you can even, you can go to the websites where they use the actors from. It's called crisisactors.org, crisisactors.org. And you can also go in on official, the FEMA website and so on, and you can see, go in and see how they conduct these so-called exercises and so on, how you can apply to become one of them and so on. So it's just, we're living in crazy, crazy times at the moment. I think one of the reasons why they started using actors, because this is, as far as I know, only in recent year, it's Sandy Hook was one of those, Boston bombing was one of those, the beheading in London, massively one of those, where it was absolutely staged from step one to the last step. And I think one of the reasons is that when you commit these atrocities, every time you blow up a group of people, from that moment, you will have problems with their relatives and friends, and especially mothers. They will not give up when it comes to finding out what happened to their child. And so if you keep doing these things on a regular basis, you will have more and more people that will just breathe down your neck and will not let you alone until they found out the actual truth. So I think this is one of the major reasons why they started using actors, because then they can limit it, the group, that you don't have real victims and you don't have people following you so intensely. And and then also you can keep it to a small group that you can control. The only thing is, like I said, it's getting so sloppy nowadays. So they're using the same actors in these different ones. It's so clumsily made, really, really crappy made. So they got, like, you have the headmaster in Sandy Hook suddenly, and she was shot dead there. Then suddenly the same woman is a witness to the Boston bombing. You got the sheriff for, I think it's the Aurora, the Sandy Hook, and the Boston bombing, as far as I know. It's the same person in different states. Same name, same sheriff, same person who's on TV talking about these things. You got the victims where in the Sandy Hook, there was some witnesses in the street. They were talking about the kids and neighbors. Then you have them in Boston. Suddenly there were witnesses that heard the bombs explode. And so on. You got one of the women that was so-called blown up in the Boston bombing. Then you have a few hours later, she's sitting behind one of the people being interviewed, the same person that an hour earlier was shown to be blown up, blown to pieces, is sitting there behind there, alive. It's so sloppy, you know.
I remember seeing a couple of instances where the people that supposedly were blown to bits in the Boston bombing then later turned up in another video in another part. You know, as if nothing had happened to them. So I can attest to the fact that you're telling the truth here, and I questioned that at the time myself.
This is the whole thing. You need to become aware of it. You need to. It takes time to look into this. But nowadays, the mobile camera and YouTube, it's like a marriage in heaven, I tell you, because they cannot get away with it anymore, because people are filming it and it goes out like boom so quickly. At the same time, you also need to be aware of that they are also using mobile phones on YouTube to divert attention away from it. So it's a double-edged sword. But and you can see it's the same people. Like, for instance, you have this, do you know there was a Mexican guy in the Boston bombing? He's the guy with the cowboy hat, where there's this man who's, he supposedly get his leg blown off. Do you know which one I'm saying? It's really an awful image with there's just a piece of bone sticking out his leg and blown up. But if you start checking out the photos, you can actually see how the so-called bomb explodes, and then they help him put on the what is called in English
prosthesis,
that's the word, sorry, how they get it on him. they get him up in a wheelchair and they start wheeling him out. The thing is, with a person like this, if his leg was actually blown up, blown off, you can ask any medical person, you know, a doctor on a higher level, he will say that an injury like that, the blood would just pump out. So within a few minutes, this guy would be, if not dead, he would be so white in his face, there would be blood all over. The blood would be quite very red. It would be more a pinkish color because there's oxygen in it, depending on what artery that it has been cut off. And when you look at this guy, he looks totally fine. He's there's no blood. There's just a little painted on it like this. Then you, if you zoom in, there are different videos when they're rolling him out. And when they roll him out, suddenly this leg prosthesis drops off, so they had to stop and put it back on. And but these things, you need to be able to zoom in and see what's going on. And this Mexican guy who's helping him, and later stands up in media and makes all these interviews, and they make it so patriotic. He's standing with an American flag with blood on it while he's being interviewed. I mean, they use all of these symbols all the time. Anyway, this guy was, if you look at it before, he looks like a medical person when he's helping him, but he was one of the people in the crowd, the so-called crowd, and then he jumped over the fence and suddenly he had this badge on and everything with a name. But this guy, if you track him back, he was on national TV just a year or two earlier, when officially it was said that his son came back from, I think, the war in Iraq or Afghanistan or something like that, and the global elite needed support for the troops. So he was being filmed when he was reached by the message that his son had been shot abroad, that he had been killed in action. So this guy, he was just crying in front of the TV cameras. And then he went into the van, the TV crew's van, and turned himself on fire. That is what happened a few years ago. And now he's here again. No fire, no nothing. You know, he's totally fine. All of this, same name, same actor.
Wow.
You know, it's just like we have to wake up to what's going on and see also how they do it. Because it's only by exposing these that we can say, come on, guys, it's game over. Stop it. We're not buying it anymore. It's just because we are so asleep, most of us, that they get away with it on such a regular basis.
My guest has been Ole Damgaard. His website is lightonconspiracies.com. And his book, Coup d'Etat in Slow Motion, available at his website. You can also make a donation there. Ole is going to be a regular guest on this program, and we want to thank you for coming on the show today, Ole. In the minute we have left, any final thoughts you want to bring out tonight before we wrap it up?
I just want to say that I'm not a man of violence, revenge, or anger, or anything. I just want this madness to stop. It's time for it to stop. We're tired, and it's enough. And the sooner we wake up and take back the power, our personal power, by waking up, not being duped anymore, the sooner we can stop this, because there's so many tragedies on so many different levels in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in cities, and people being assassinated. And so it's enough. It's been going on for decades because we've been asleep. There's no excuse for it anymore. It is time to wake up.
Ole Damgaard, thank you for being with us. We'll have you on again in a few weeks here, and we'll contact you and set that up. I really appreciate you being a regular contributor to our program. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on again this evening.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you so much. Good night, Don. That's Ole Damgaard. Lightonconspiracies.com is his website, and also you can get his book, Coup d'Etat in Slow Motion. Fascinating information, crisisactors.org. I'm going to have to check that out and see what that's all about. That is going to put the capper on it for this edition of America Talks Radio for Patriots here on the Orion Talk Radio Network. News and views beyond the mainstream media. My name is David Zublik. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, we'll do it again.